Councillors, thank you. A matter has been raised with me earlier on, and I must ask you that when we're in debate, please stay in the chamber. It's noted that some councillors were part of the debate and then went out and left the room, came back and voted. So we don't have any issues. Please, if we're in the middle of a debate, stay in here. So then you vote, then you can leave and then come back in. Thank you. Just please bear that as a casual observation. Moving to item 7, that is the report of the HR Policy Committee. You'll find this on pages 423 to pages 428. Paper 7 will be introduced by Councillor Mandy Chilcutt, the Cabinet Member for Resources. Councillor Chilcutt will introduce the key points from this report from the HR Policy Committee and the recommendations you will find at paragraph 2.1 of the report, and they're repeated below. It will be proposed by Councillor Mandy Chilcutt and seconded by Councillor Liz Leishon. I will then invite other members to debate and ask any questions that you have. Councillor Chilcutt will answer those questions, and if necessary, Mr. Chris Squire from the HR directorship may be invited to answer any points raised. Following the debate, I will highlight to you all that the recommendations are set out on page 424 of the agenda pack, and members should refer to these when voting. So I'm now going to move to Councillor Mandy Chilcutt, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. I have pleasure in presenting the report of the HR Committee for decision today. As we can see, it covers the meeting that was held on the 21st of Jan, which considered our pay policy statement and a pensions discretions policy. Just to say, this is an item that goes through this chamber annually. It's something we have to, a process that we have to go through and we have to vote on. We, of course, value all our members of staff, but I will leave it there because I think the report speaks for itself. And in the interest of brevity, I will just put the recommendations as published.
Councillor Liz Leishon.
Thank you, Chair. I'm pleased to second the recommendations and also to add my thanks to the HR team who do a great job. And we appreciate that people are working harder and that pay awards haven't been too plentiful in recent years, and we understand why, but we send our thanks to the entire staff of Somerset County Council. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor. Right. Any questions from members? I see none. No hands raised. In which case, I'm going to move to the vote on this. You're quite clear where you'll find that and my comment about looking at the agenda pack. So we're going to vote. It's not a...
Sorry, Chair, did Councillor...
Councillor Redman, the thought you indicated, you didn't.
Revans, sorry.
Sorry, Councillor Bill Revans.
Well,
yeah, I know. You can't beat a bit of hilarity at times, I suppose. Right, let's be serious. Please, members, I'm going to ask you now to vote on this in the usual way. Those four, please indicate. Thank you. Can I find out any to the contrary, if any? No, that is unanimous. Thank you, councillors. Move to item 8, and that's the report of the monitoring officer, pages 439 to pages 444. It's going to be introduced by Scott Woodridge, our monitoring officer. And I'm going to invite him to set out the key points from the report. The recommendations are paragraph 2.1 of the report, and they're repeated again below. It's going to be proposed by Councillor Fothergill and seconded by Councillor Liz Leishon, and debated and voted upon as detailed below. So I'm going to ask you at the end of that for members to debate and ask any questions you have of the monitoring officer. And following the debate, I will remind you that the recommendations are set out on page 439 of the agenda pack, and members should refer to these when voting. Mr. Woodridge.
Thank you, Chair. I won't labour the point in the sense that clearly members are aware that I brought a very similar report to your last meeting in November, where similarly there were some changes to committees and outside bodies. The appendix that has been published and circulated to you all yesterday set out the details of those minor changes. Secondly, in terms of the report itself, then also sets out context in terms of the proposed appointment of a Section 151 officer to take effect from the 1st of March. And finally, the report also makes reference to the requirements for Council also to appoint a data protection officer, and the reasons for that are also set out in the report. So other than that, Chair, I'm happy for any questions of a technical nature to be raised.
I see none. Okay, then. Councillor Fothergill.
Thank you indeed. I rise to propose this item. I think it's pretty self-explanatory, but I would just like to say how delighted I am that Sheila Collins has been selected to be the interim 151 officer. And I hope the appointment goes through, because I think that she'll do a really very good job for us, and I've been impressed so far. So thank you.
Councillor Liz Leyshon.
Thank you, Chair. I'm pleased to second these three recommendations. I particularly draw attention to the benefit to this Council of continuity of Section 151 officer, in that Sheila Collins has been working with Peter Lewis, and so we are able to continue on our financial journey without a station stop, and I think that is greatly to our benefit. I would also like to offer our congratulations and good wishes to Lucy Wilkins, who is commencing maternity leave, with all good wishes for the future for her and her child and the rest of her family when it comes. So I am very pleased to recommend on all three. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Leyshon. Well, if there's no other questions, I'm going to move this to the vote. And I see no other questions, no indications. So I propose that we move to the vote. Please indicate in the usual way those in favour.
Again, that looks unanimous, Chair.
To the contrary, if any, I declare that unanimous. Thank you, councillors. That's carried.
Sorry, Chair, we have a...
Councillor Fothergill, I beg your pardon.
Thank you, Chairman. Now that we've appointed Sheila Collins as our new Section 151 officer, and we know that we're not going to have to hold Peter Lewis back for any longer, I would just like to rise and pay my tributes to Peter for the role that he's played in transforming this county council. He has brought a pace to our finances. He's brought a transparency to our finances. He's brought absolute clarity, and he's brought us some difficult decisions, but he's also found us a way forward. I would not have believed that one person could have had such an impact upon our financial understanding and our financial work, but he has truly brought that to us. I cannot imagine where we would be without the work that Peter Lewis and his team — I recognise he's led the team, but he's been there, he's been the leader of that team — and I would just really like to rise in full council and say thank you, Peter Lewis.
Chairman, thank you.
Could the public please remain quiet while the councillors are talking? Thank you, Alan.
Chairman, thank you. Can I just echo David's comments and to thank Peter for the time and the patience that he's shown with both Liz and I in helping us through what's been a very difficult period for the council, and thank him for his efforts and to get the council out of the difficulties that found itself in. Long may it last. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Can I just thank you for clarifying that applause is now allowed in this chamber? Thank you.
The applause there was for effectively a civilian member of staff, not a councillor. And even if it was for a councillor of whatever political persuasion, if it merited it, I would be happy to see it. So perhaps I can make my own rule on that one. Item 9 is the annual report of the Corporate Parenting Board. I'm very pleased to invite Jill Johnson, OBE, and she's chair of the board, to present this. She will detail the key points of the report. The recommendations are set out below and they're repeated and proposed by Councillor Nicholson and seconded by Councillor Lee Redman. I will, after that, invite members to debate and ask Councillor Nicholson to answer any questions. If necessary, Julian Worcester is here, the Director of Children's Services, and he may also be invited to answer any questions on points raised. Following the debate, I will remind you that the recommendations are set out on page 3 of the supplemental agenda pack, and members should refer to those when voting. So I'm going to invite Councillor Jill Johnson, OBE.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to slide around because I don't like having my back to people. I'm sorry, to the people just in this corner, but just so that people are aware, the Corporate Parent Board is there in its role to ensure that the Somerset County Council, together with the five district councils, fulfil their duties towards children looked after and care leavers, and corporately in partnership with other statutory agencies, including the NHS and the police. And I just wanted to reiterate that at the very beginning of presenting this report, because there are still some councillors here who haven't been trained, and I'm going to refer to that at the end as well. But it's also for the public to understand that children looked after are the responsibility of all of us, not just the agencies or the foster parents or the carers that look after them. They are the responsibility of everybody in society. And it's not their fault that they end up in care. And for whatever reason they're there, then it's our responsibility to make sure they're looked after. I just wanted to highlight a few items. I'm not going to be very long because I know you've had a very long debate already this morning. It's good to be back here and see that nothing has really changed. page 4, 4.3, big thanks to the Twin Hatters and district councillors for help in achieving the funding results so that the district councils are going to give relief to those young carers who come out of care and go into work so that they can have some support in moving forward in their lives. It's only what you or I would do for our own children. We would support them and help them in their first homes. And it's great to see that we've had so many people helping to make sure that that happens. We're not quite there. We just need a little bit more push to see it home. But every district now is on board. The principles of corporate parenting, I just wanted to read that out because I wanted everybody to remember the principles of corporate parenting. It's in 5.3, so I'm not going to read it all because of time, but it's there. I draw your attention to it. Please have a look at it. It just means I really want to impress upon you that you are a corporate parent. All councillors here are corporate parents, so the officers, everybody. In all of your life, in everything you do, if you're writing reports for your parish councils, please use at least one or two opportunities a year to talk about the fact that you're also a corporate parent. And it's important that all councillors understand that we all are. 5.4, sufficiency, it's still a massive, massive issue. We do not have enough foster parents in this county, in this country. There are lots. I saw questions at the last meeting from people about care, and the answers are given. Look, if you put your time into encouraging more people to be foster carers, then everything would be a lot better in this county. So please, in your communities, promote foster caring and our need for more foster carers. Please look at the report, the annual report from the Sick and Slicks, Somerset In Care Council and Leaving Care Council. They do great work. They assist the council over and over again. They're not hugely well supported, and I'll use this for a plug, looking directly at the leader of the council. Staffing levels, really tricky there. We've got one member of staff who keeps being called in to cover for people. She works really hard with me. Fiona, is she here? No, I can embarrass her then. Fee works so hard, and she's always covering, and she's doing far more than her job entails. And it would be really, really good if we could get some extra support in there, even if it's only temporary, to support that work. And I really do want to give a huge thank you to yourself, David, for going along to Sick and Slick, and to Lee, who goes every week and washes up for them and helps provide food. There's still a lot to do to meet our targets. We've met a lot of them. We've had great success, but there's much, much more to do. But we are beginning to improve. Health is now beginning to improve. And again, thank you, David, for your interventions in terms of getting the extra resource that we needed for health. That's finally in place. It's taken nearly a year to get that into place, but it's there. So I'm sure that we'll see some of those red targets turning amber and then green. So finally, number one, you're all welcome to attend meetings, even if you're not a member. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, actually, I haven't got a clue what Corporate Parent Board does, please come along, please have a listen. If you don't want to come to the main board meetings, we have these work groups, you can go along to any of those. Have a look at them, because there may be something that you're interested in. I appeal to all members, if you join or are appointed to the Corporate Parent Board, please come along. We are always talking, I'm always talking, Frances is smiling at me now because she knows I'm always nagging, that we have members who are appointed to be on the Corporate Parent Board and don't come. And if you can't come, talk to your leader and say, please appoint somebody else, because I can't ever get there. Or at least try and get somebody to substitute for you. And then regarding the recommendations, 2.1, Chairman, says, Council recommend the Corporate Parent Board training be mandatory for all councillors who are members of the board. This council actually did approve that it should be mandatory for every councillor. And Ofsted took great pleasure in telling us in their report that they were so pleased with the fact that we'd got so many councillors trained in corporate parenting. So I am going to keep appealing to you all, and my aim will remain that all councillors be trained as corporate parents, because it is important that you understand exactly the work that we do and exactly what needs to be done to keep going into the future. And I hope that will rise to a fine, and if it does, it can come to corporate parent for the sick and slick group. Thank you very much, Chairman. I'll take any questions, or Francis will.
Thank you. I'm sorry about you being interrupted by the telephone. Can I ask the owner of said telephone just to switch it off, please? Thank you.
Any questions,
please, councillors? Councillor Bloomfield.
Thank you. I've got a question. It's something I've been approached several times in my ward in relation to transporting children in care, or looked after children, rather. What I've been told is that many of our children are ferried by taxis with social workers and the like, rather than allowing the parent to carry out that role. And one of the points that was raised was the mileage rate given to foster carers is considerably lower than the mileage rate we as members are allowed to claim. I don't know if Jill could clarify if that is the situation. If it is the situation, would an increase in that mileage rate assist us and actually save us money overall?
Thank you. I think that might be slightly awkward for Ms. Shortland to reply to. I'm going to look across to Councillor Francis Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think, if I may, very briefly, just say how grateful I am to Jill for the work that she does, the enthusiasm she brings to it, and the effectiveness of her interventions, and absolutely support her in the report and the recommendations of the report. On the particular question, these are very particular technical details. I'm very happy to meet Councillor Bloomfield outside the meeting and discover exactly what the situation is and the questions that he needs answered.
Thank you, Councillor Nicholson. Okay. Councillor Fothergill.
I would just like to rise. Every time I hear Jill talk, Jill Johnson as she is now, every time I rise, I hear Jill talk, it just reminds me of why we appointed her to chair this board. She speaks with passion about the children that are in our care. And every time she speaks, she embarrasses me that we're not doing more. But that's fine, because actually she's absolutely right. We are all corporate parents. We all have a responsibility for the children in our care. She needs to keep reminding us of that fact. We need to keep reminding ourselves of that fact. We're very lucky to have Jill chairing that board, and I'm very grateful for the work that she and the board does. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fothergill. I must admit, as a former Barnardo's baby myself, I'm very, very grateful for people that looked after me at the time. Right, I see nobody else here that wants to ask any questions, in which case I'm going to move that to a vote. And I'm asking the proposer, who's Councillor... You're all looking like this, Councillor.
Mr Chairman, I propose the recommendations with pleasure, and I look for a seconder, and I can't remember who it is. Lee.
Chair.
Councillor Lee Redman. Thank you both. Put it straight to the vote then, please. Those in favour? To the contrary, if any? I declare that unanimous. Thank you. I'm going to move now. Thank you very much for coming. And that's very kind of you. Thank you. I'm going to move now to item 10, which is the requisitioned item. Pages 45 to 448. I will invite Councillor Munt to present and propose the requisitioned item. Then I'll invite Councillor Hall, if he wishes to speak at that point. I will invite the public speakers register for this item to address the Council, and each speaker will be reminded that they have up to 3 minutes to make any key points and to try and not repeat points made by other speakers on the same matter. I will highlight that every member has access to the statements and the questions that are being submitted, and I will then invite other members to debate and ask any questions. Councillor Hall is here to answer any questions raised, and if necessary, Paula Hewitt, the lead commissioner, may be invited to answer any points raised. Following the debate, I will remind members that the recommendations are all set out on pages 445 to 446 of your agenda pack, and you should refer to those when voting. Councillor Munt, please.
Thank you, Chair. I rise to propose this climate change emergency motion, and I'm delighted to see that it's been seconded by Councillor David Hall. I'm also delighted to see that there are some very small people in the chamber, and I'd recognise the contribution they've made through the morning, but recognise also that we have a number of young people who were concerned last Friday in making sure that their views were heard on the whole matter of climate emergency. It's for these young people that we have to take action, and the urgency cannot be stressed enough. Human activity has caused irreversible climate change, and it's good to know that we're not actually listening to people who are denying that there is something that needs to be done. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, produced a special report in November last year, and it speaks of what is likely to happen if we don't actually arrest this process and get ourselves to a position where the 1.5%, or less than 1.5%, is our rise before 2030. Now, I am aware that there are a number of groups who have made their points known, particularly Extinction Rebellion, and that we have a discussion about dates. And I just want to say at this point that 2030 is the date in which I settled on, because it's in line with every other body. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't move more quickly if we possibly can, but 2030 seems to be the right date so that we can actually do something within this Council to reduce the chance of runaway global warming and to limit the effects of climate breakdown. So we all need to take individual action. But actually, there's also a point that every single level of government should actually do something to change legislation, to change standards, and to change our approach to meet the need to reduce our CO2 emissions. And we've got to make low-carbon living easier to achieve and the new norm. Now, to me, this is a matter of common sense, and you just have to say, why not? Why would we not take this action? And it's quite clear when you look at, for example, energy use. It's very often the low-cost option for those people who can't afford to spend a great deal on their energy use at home or in business. It's much more sensible that we take action and make sure that we enable people to use the opportunities that are presented by the green options, the environmentally friendly options, because it's just cheaper, if nothing else, That is one argument in favour of doing this. Now, local authorities across the world are responding by declaring a climate emergency. We know that Bristol was one of the first, and last night I know that North Somerset actually passed a climate emergency motion as well. So I recommend, I welcome that. But Somerset, with its very long coastline and its low-lying areas, is particularly susceptible to the effects of climate change, and we've seen that in various occasions. So we know that bold action can deliver economic benefits, it can lead to new jobs, it can lead to economic savings for everybody, and it can improve our well-being. So this council, I'm glad to say, it has the opportunity to vote on the fact that actually the council recognises the scale and the urgency of this challenge from climate change, and that it declares a climate emergency. And I'd like to thank particularly Extinction Rebellion, Sustainable Wells, Green Wedmore, and all the other numerous groups who've actually participated and helped me to put this motion together. I see that we've got the opportunity to vote for the fact that the Policy and Place Committee, the Scrutiny Committee, can review and audit and recommend action and create a strategy for Somerset County Council around climate change and facilitate stronger Somerset-wide action through collaboration at a strategic level, but also at a community level, because individuals can take action, but it's really important that everybody's facing in the same direction. And I think there's a really big part that actually this council can play when you look at all the different things in which the council is involved and what it touches in every single person's life. So I'm delighted that that audit through the looking at the actions and the impact of the council through its legislation and all the rest of it, we can actually make sure that we have positive action from the council. I know that there are 683 people who have signed my petition, and I know that there are many more signatures across the county for people who support this work. But the benefit for me has been that those people who have signed my petition, I've had so many offers to this council for help in the way of expertise and experience and energy in making sure that we do everything to the best possible standards that we can. So I'm delighted that those people will have an opportunity. It's really power to local people and making sure that everyone can participate in making this council one of the greenest ever. And they can contribute through that committee, through the scrutiny committee, and in other ways. Within this motion, you'll see that the council is asked specifically to write to the Secretaries of State for business, energy and industrial strategy, for transport, for the environment, food and rural affairs, and for housing, communities and local government. And that is particularly to get government ministers to concentrate on taking power away from the centre and granting those powers to this council and to other councils so that they can do what they need to be able to do. Because it's actually to do... We've seen the chaos of government over the last 2.5 years, where it's had a single focus, and this emergency needs to take precedence. So it's really good that if those letters go, and I thank Mr. Fothergill particularly, Councillor Fothergill particularly, for agreeing to this, so that there is the opportunity at least to start discussing how we can take power out of the centre and bring it down to a local level. Because as I said before, the impact of this council on people's actions on a day-to-day basis is enormous. So, item number three, the recommendation, is that we should report to full council before the end of 2019. The reason for why I did that, I thought at one point we were actually going to have to call an emergency meeting, which we've done before, in order to sort out what we were going to do about this climate emergency, because when I looked at the diary, I couldn't actually see any full council meetings in the diary past July 2019. I don't know whether that was in anticipation of some sort of unitary authority moving very quickly. I think not. Anyway, I understand there is a full council meeting now on the 27th of November, And because that is outside of the six-month limit that was requested, a lot of the motions to other councils have said that we should report back within 6 months on what this council has done and will be planning to do. Our meeting doesn't take place within 6 months, and July is too soon. It's not possible to do the work that's necessary in that time. So that is why I've just asked for this to be before the end of 2019. So the last thing I would like to say is I'd like to pay tribute to Paula Hewitt for the work that her team is going to do, because this council has agreed that, may agree when it votes, on allocating £25,000 in office time to make sure that the Policy and Place Scrutiny Committee is given the support that it needs in terms of office time to make sure that we can do the work that's going to be necessary. And I would just like to suggest, sir, I'm moving this motion in order that instead of constantly talking about this, which we have been for I don't know how many decades, actually there's an opportunity for this council to take action and find solutions now. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Councillor Munts. Could you switch your microphone off, please? Thank you. Councillor Hall, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I rise with great pleasure to second this recommendation, and thank you, Tessa, for your eloquent introduction. You've covered a great deal of ground there. We are all becoming increasingly aware of the effects and impacts of climate change, and we all recognise, I believe, the accelerated pace of climate change, and that this is a matter of concern not just for us, but for all our future generations. And I would echo Tessa's comments in welcoming members of the public today, but especially the young people who've come today. I'm not sure that all of them are quite old enough to listen to the debate, but you're very, very welcome. This is a cross-party item, and I hope that it receives cross-party support, and I would thank Tessa, Councillor Munt, for working with us in its preparation. Whilst it's incumbent on central government to take the big decisions, it's equally important that we all make a contribution to reduce any CO2 emissions and to make our concerns known to government. It is equally important in such an important issue to make sure that the efforts we make and the goals we set are achievable and sustainable so that we can have real impact. This is not just a talking shop. We need to make a change. I'm also delighted to confirm that in seconding this motion, the administration has provisionally allocated £25,000 from our contingency budget to support and scope the work and recommendations of the Scrutiny Committee, to which Councillor Munt has already referred. And I'd also note in passing that I've received words of support for this motion from David Warburton MP, James Heapy MP, and I actually have a letter of support from Rebecca Powe. So, in closing, I thoroughly commend this recommendation and these proposals to the Council, and I think it's time we heard from the members of the public who've been so patient today, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hall. You've actually taken the words right out of my mouth. I think the public have sat there very patiently, especially the young mums, and I'm going to go straight to Timothy Eggins from Climate Change.
Thank you, Chairman, and members of the Council. Somerset has a potential loss of 6,200 square kilometres with 32,500 properties at risk of flooding or destruction. These are not my figures. They are from the Somerset County Council's report of 2013. Indeed, it may not be long into the future that we see the loss of Borough Bridge, Western Zorland, or Street and Bridgewater cut off by rising sea levels. We can expect to see refugees from the Somerset levels or other parts of the UK. Extreme weather events will impact on our farming community, tourism and everyday life for Somerset folk. The probable impact leading to permanent disruption for all of us must not be underestimated, but we do not have to succumb without resistance, and SEC should initiate changes without delay. But how can we achieve a zero carbon county? Research by the Resilience Centre, commissioned by Molly Scott-Cato, MEP, shows that we have the potential to generate 152% of our total energy needs, assuming there's a 40% reduction in demand due to energy efficiency measures from the council, industry and domestic households. The 40% reduction will not only reduce our CO2 output, will save everyone, including businesses, families and local authorities, money. Taking this route will help safeguard our future, create thousands of jobs. Unlike Cornwall and Dorset, Somerset has both a high source of accessible renewable energy and a high power demand, which, if balanced correctly, will ensure Somerset's environmental commitment. By declaring a climate emergency, you will be helping protect Somerset while boosting job potential and becoming an inspiration to other county councils. Every day wasted is a loss of time, a loss of money, and could be a loss of life. Do not wait for instruction from Westminster. Show us your leadership qualities and declare a climate emergency immediately. Aim to make Somerset carbon neutral as soon as possible, as I fear the exponential increase of CO2 will prove delaying a costly mistake. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Eggins. I'm just going to remind all the members of the public, some of you may have missed it earlier on, you do not need to have to read the whole of your statement. All the councillors will have had that and should have read it in front of them. If you wish to read it, it's up to you, but you may choose to paraphrase it or adjust it accordingly. And make it clear, there's a couple of councillors wish to indicate. I'm going to let the public speak first. I will come to you. I've recorded it. Councillor Napper and Councillor Bill, I will come to you when the general public have finished. So I'm going to ask Melanie Smith, please, of Taunton Green Parents Climate Change.
Thank you. My name is Mel. I am a Taunton resident with two young children, and I helped set up a local group, Taunton Green Parents. Just a year ago, I would never have imagined myself standing here. I cannot claim to be a lifelong environmentalist. I'm just a mother who loves her children, and I'm worried about their future. The IPCC report estimates that we have just 12 years to limit climate catastrophe. I read the report whilst breastfeeding my daughter during the night, and I cried. As a mother, all I want to do is protect my children. My inability to guarantee their future safety is heartbreaking. My hopes and dreams for my children are somewhat different to those that I imagined just a short time ago. I want my children and others around the world and future generations to grow up on a habitable planet with a stable climate, access to water and food and clean air, a world free from conflict brought about by a scarcity of resources, and the chance to enjoy the natural world, our oceans, forests and the incredible biodiversity that our planet offers. Sadly, right now, these basic foundations for life are at risk unless we commit and deliver urgent and dramatic decarbonisation. On our current trajectory, we are heading for at least a 3 to 4 degree rise in temperature, which would result in a potentially large uninhabitable planet within my children's lifetime. At the current 1 degree rise, the level of suffering at both the human and natural level is already immeasurable. Many people, often the most vulnerable, who have contributed least to emissions, have already lost their lives, loved ones, livelihoods and homes. Many people are already experiencing extreme temperatures and drought. We're also witnessing a devastating mass extinction of species and a disruption to the valuable ecosystems which we are both part of and dependent upon for our survival. So I ask you to support the motion to declare a climate emergency. This is our opportunity to lead the way and join the growing global movement in the fight against climate change. Change is never easy, and there are challenges ahead, but the evidence is clear. We have no choice, and we have limited time. I'm not alone. We all have loved ones, children, grandchildren, nephews, nieces, that we must protect. One day they will ask us what we did to safeguard their future. This is our chance to do our bit.
Thank you very much. I'm going to move to Christopher Maunder, climate change, please.
I am a member of the Extinction Rebellion. However, I have been protesting since October 2001, a month after the terrorist attack on 9/11. I attended that first of many protests because I felt a new war would not help our global society to unite in order to tackle the threat of climate breakdown. In 2001, climate breakdown was still just about a threat. Now it has become a full-blown emergency. The Extinction Rebellion movement has risen at a time when our global society is on its knees and the UK is utterly prostrate. It has done so because it has at its core three simple demands. One, for the truth about climate to be told. Two, for action to be taken to reduce carbon emissions to net zero by 2025, as well as reducing consumption to sustainable levels. And three, for the formation of a national citizens' assembly, and then perhaps even more assemblies leading from that, to determine the path we take as a society to achieve demand number two, thereby hopefully expanding the idea of inclusive democracy. Extinction Rebellion is a movement that has spread in a third of a year to over 100 countries, precisely because its aims are based on the empowerment of the people. We here in Somerset have shown ourselves to be more than ready to stand together and begin to make the necessary changes. We are here today for that reason. We want to see action on climate change. We want to prevent further breakdown of the environment where we can. We want the people to be able to take the lead on delivering these changes. We demand that you declare a climate emergency and act to make the changes we, as living beings, naturally desire. And maybe even let us help to begin to achieve them. As a movement, we will not be going away, at least until our extinction is averted and the ecology of the planet and the society of our species are united and working together for the protection and benefit of each other. We are prepared to work with you to achieve these aims, but you must first accept the reality of the situation we are in. Life does face an emergency, and we demand that you declare it so that we can all begin to work together to change it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Maunder. Sigurd Reimers, please.
Sigurd Reimers. Mr. Chair, councillors, there are in the region of 100,000 dependent grandchildren in Somerset. As a grandparent, and many of you are grandparents, I am concerned at the bleak future that our grandchildren and others of their generation face because of climate change. Scientific report after scientific report, and it's not just the IPCC report, but also the World Wildlife Fund report and the UK's Met Office report at the end of last year. They're showing that on present efforts, many of which are good, but which are insufficient, global warming will put this generation and coming generations at the risk of significant harm, much of it irreversible. I beg members to take the bold step of declaring a climate emergency and so show that it is committed to the long-term well-being and the survival of its youngest citizens. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reimers. Bill Butcher, climate change.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Bill Butcher. I'm Chairman of Western Somerset Forum 21. We support the motion that calls on the County Council to declare a climate emergency. Forum 21 volunteers support several projects that contribute to mitigating climate change. For example, it helps people with energy saving, renewable energies, and low carbon fuels so that they can enjoy warm homes. It initiated the Steam Coast Trail, and is now helping communities install public charge points for electric vehicles. We produced a climate change strategy for West Somerset Council in 2008 and worked with the Exmoor National Park Authority to write a plan to enable the national park to become carbon neutral by 2025. The County Council is already taking some useful action, especially in the area of adaptation to climate change impacts, and getting renewable energy installed on some of its own buildings. This is welcome, but a much greater effort on mitigation is needed. Now, some of you may be thinking that the Council, with all of its challenges in maintaining services on a shrinking budget, can do without taking on more. If you are thinking that, we urge you to think again for two reasons. First of all, the timing, which you've already heard about, the time to act must be now. Another 5 years of business as usual, and it will be too late. Secondly, the good news, actions that this council can take on climate change will be good for Somerset people, Somerset business and Somerset's reputation. For example, action to accelerate the move towards electric vehicles will improve health through reducing air pollution and noise while boosting tourism. Action to help insulate buildings will reduce poverty and create local jobs. Action to accelerate renewable energy production will keep money in the local economy. As you've heard, we're not asking the council to do it alone. You can rely on the support of local organisations and people around the county. Some of the most effective things that you can do involve drawing down central government funds and removing barriers to actions that others can take.
30 seconds.
You have the power to make it possible for the people of Somerset to make the choices that we need. Sir David Attenborough, reputed to be the most trusted person in Britain, says it must be now. Please act now, support this climate emergency motion.
Thank you, Mr. Butcher. Ian Gauntlett, climate change.
XR. I'm speaking as a private individual here because I think we're individuals as well as groups. I also was not fully aware that I wasn't going to be... Oh, thank you. Can you hear me all right? I'm also fully aware that I was going to read this out, but a lot of what I've said has already happened. So I'll try and summarise and not keep you too long. It's clear that we have a problem not only in Somerset but across the world. It's clear that we have very little time. Probably the 12 years that the IPCC give us is a conservative estimate. I think the importance of this problem has been particularly highlighted by the recent school strike. The children get it, even though the adults don't. I think it's important they emphasise, and we need to understand, that there will be no second chances. I look around the chamber. Many of you are of a similar age to me, one or two older perhaps, a few younger. I have grandchildren. I have children. If you don't have grandchildren, you may have nieces or nephews. It's their future. We've done it. My generation has done this, and my previous generations. And although we are thinking about future generations, if we don't do something now, there will be no future generations. So although I've rambled on a bit in my talk, I think basically the final part of my question to you is not will you support this motion, but actually can we afford not to support this motion? Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Callie Gauntlett, climate change.
Chair, councillors, on the 25th of January, Extinction Rebellion Taunton raised a petition calling on Somerset County Council to declare a climate emergency. To date, over 1,200 people have signed. I would like to give voice to some of the many comments made from across the county. From Taunton, I'm signing because this is the most urgent and important issue of our time. If we are lucky, there may still be time to avert the worst impacts of climate change. But only if our government and local authorities show leadership and act now. Minehead. We all know that we may have only 12 years. We must all turn things around to save our planet. Not enough is being done at government level. We need to have incentives. Yeovil. We are the earth, and the earth is us. And all the following generations of every living thing need to be able to live on the earth in balance with nature. Milverton. Not enough forward thinking is being done to address global warming. There are measures that local government can implement, from turning off streetlights to building cycle paths. Chard. I am signing because I'm concerned about climate change and its effects on all of us. Wellington. This is a genuine emergency unfolding. It may seem slow, but it's the biggest emergency ever. Glastonbury. The signs of climate change and its impact on this area can be blatantly seen. Wyvaliskum. I know we must all make a change if we are to save the world from extinction. We can all make a difference, but we need the governments of the world to lead us. Frome. For our children's sake, Somerset Council should announce the climate emergency. Langport. I believe there is nothing more urgent, and I want to know that my county council are making this climate emergency their utmost priority. Burnham-on-Sea. It's in everybody's interest to tackle this at every level. Norton Fitzwarren. I'm signing because I believe all statutory authorities need to make a response to climate change central to all their work. Wells. The people of Somerset are amongst those societies and ecosystems who are very vulnerable to the impacts of climate change.
15 seconds.
Watch it. The issue of climate change is not being taken seriously in Somerset. I am not seeing action reflected in the policies at county, district or local levels. We ask that the council respond by approving Tessa Munt's call to declare a climate emergency. Thank you.
Thank you. And the last speaker is Michael Dunk, Climate Change.
Right, good afternoon, Council. I'll try and keep this as short as possible. I'm from Frome in...
Sorry. Yeah, did anyone hear that? Yeah, I hope so. I'm from Frome in Somerset, and I've lived here for about 35 years and also working here. And I'm here to support the motion. It's fantastic that it's happening, and I'm so glad it's here, and I want to second all the other people who have spoken before me. However, I have got concerns about the environment that are already being observed, and I will basically sort of questions that I've asked the council, which may be slightly off track, but I would reiterate them now. I will wish the council to set a date by which they will cease to use the herbicide glyphosate. It may not appear to be to do with the climate agenda, but to me it's important that the ecosphere that we live in is preserved. The second question I asked is, will the council work with environmental groups to produce yearly reports on the state of wildlife insect populations and plant life to flag up any concerns raised? And there are concerns very much with the populations of everything at the moment. The third question was, will the council set up regular 6-monthly reports to council on the progress towards the 2030 carbon neutral target? And I feel this is important because the momentum needs to be kept up. And so if that could be funded, that would be great. I also hope that the council, having realised the need to reduce our reliance on fossil fuels, will phase out any investments that contain fossil fuels, and then should include that the pension fund portfolio also be divested in a time frame to reduce any investments we have in there. And I feel that's the next thing to do. If the council would allow me very quickly just to read out part of David Attenborough's speech, which was mentioned. He spoke at Davos, and I would have read the whole speech out, but I want to spare the council the time that would take. But if I can just speak from the last positive elements he spoke about. If people could truly understand what is at stake, I believe that they will give permission to businesses and governments to get on with the practical solutions. And as a species, we are expert problem solvers, but we haven't yet applied ourselves to this problem with the focus that it requires. What we do now and in the next few years will profoundly affect the next few thousand years. Thank you, Council.
Thank you. That was spot on time. Councillor Hall,
to respond to those questions, please.
Thank you very much, Chairman, and thank you once again to all of you for coming along today, sharing your views on this important issue and sharing your passion. I'm sure you're pleased to see the climate change motion on the agenda today. As I said at the beginning, in seconding this recommendation, we need to take action now. I would just remind you once again that this motion has been put together as a cross-party initiative and brought together with cross-party support, and does indeed recognise the serious nature of the climate change challenge. The motion would commit the Council to address the issue, and it makes budget provision for this. And in closing, I would say Mr. Dunk has asked some very specific questions, and these can and will be picked up in the proposed development of a climate change strategy if this recommendation is approved. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, I have a list of five councillors that wish to speak. It will be Alan Weddercott, Terry Napper, John Hunt, Martin Dimery and John Clark in that order.
Thank you, Chair. I support... I've got a phone here. I support this motion wholeheartedly. I've been an environmentalist for over 50 years. I protested against the production of gas and oil from the Athabasca tar sands in 1966 when I was working and living in Canada. I believe the Athabasca tar sands are still producing gas and oil by the same retorted methods. It's absolutely disgraceful that these things go on. But coming closer to home, fortunately we've seen off the climate deniers, and in the papers here, full council on page 446, resolves with a series of what I would call platitudes and things it says nothing about what they'd actually like to do. But I want to get down to the finer points. And we do have to link together locally how government works. The county council and the district council are supposed to work together on housing and highways, the environment, flooding. And whenever I mention to the county council that the local lead flood authority, Somerset County Council, just waves through anything that comes on sustainable urban drainage systems from the local authority, Taunton Borough Council. We just accept the figures they're sending us. The figures aren't even done by Taunton Deane Planning. The developers come in with the figures, give them to Taunton Deane Planning, and they say, oh yeah, that's fine. They pass them on to us, and we say, oh, that's fine. We can't go on like that. And as for garden towns, you know, we've had garden towns since the 1930s, and we've been building them ever since. And you just look around Taunton at the vast estates that sprawl all over the place. All of those houses with roofs drain into the system. All of the roads that go into all of the houses drain into the system. All the car parks drain into the system. We really got to get real. We've got to change the way we build homes for people. It's very important. Oh, it's in my jacket, is it? Oh. As you can tell, I'm very passionate about this, and I'm looking to the future. But I've watched as the central government has actually cut the targets for insulation in housing. They've done that over the last 10 years. It's been disgraceful, and I really think it has to stop. And I do hope that the county council gets some teeth on the local, as local lead flood authority, and says to Tornveen, just a minute, what are you doing building these houses here? Is this system that you're putting in really adequate? Is it beneficial to the people of Somerset? And I don't think so. I'm responsible as a councillor for a big catchment that has two big streams in it, both that enter the Tone below Long Run Meadow in Taunton. That goes down to the levels. The last time we let that happen, it cost us 180 million. And that's the figure we know of. It's probably much more. They're still spending money now, bailing out the levels, because the decision was made not to dredge a number of years ago. That's not the way to behave. We have to do the job properly. That's what we're here for. That's why we're elected. And I thank you very much for listening to me this morning. And I hope that we do see some improvements.
Thank you, Councillor. The next speaker will be Councillor Terry Napper.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I have a problem with this, I'm afraid. I agree with the last chapter, totally. We need to protect our environment. We have problems with plastic polluting the oceans, which I think is abhorrent. But how we achieve it, I don't know. Now, also, in this paper, how we achieve what we want to achieve, it doesn't explain it. Now, like I say, the last chapter, I agree totally. This is what we need to achieve. But there are other things that we can do to make ourselves carbon neutral, I believe. And just to illustrate that fact, can I just say... The heating is on full bore, but we've also got windows open. So where on earth do we equate that? So, you know, we can help ourselves a little bit in this area. I just believe that we need a little bit more facts to what and explanations to what we have here. We've just gone through the MTFP with I don't know how many pages we've gone through with all the facts. But there is no facts here. I need the facts. So I'm afraid I won't be voting for it, but I won't be voting against it either. And hold on, I didn't interrupt anyone else. So that is my want and my wish that we have some more facts and how we are actually going to achieve what I want to achieve and what everyone else wants to achieve.
The next speaker will be John Hunt. I see David Hall would like to speak, but David, I want to try and let the other three speakers finish first, if I may, please.
So my name is John, and I am a polluter-holic. Making a point, really, that occurred to me this morning. I drove up in my gas-guzzling monster of a car, parked in the car park, and our esteemed leader quite rightly pointed out to me, what am I doing pulling up at a meeting where we're going to be talking about this most important subject in a car with a 3.5-litre engine that's capable at the speed of 178 miles an hour? It's a disgrace. I am a disgrace. And I apologise to the planet, the climate and everything else for that. But we can do something about this. I've had the recent great pleasure of meeting Mel Smith, who spoke today. She represents the Taunton Green Parents Forum, which has done a lot of work with this. In fact, it was down to her and her team that managed to get the letter from our esteemed MP to go along with this. We, I think, as councillors, and I speak about myself first, and I suggest perhaps, if I may humbly to the rest of you, that we take the lead on this. Yes, the council, this motion clearly has to go through. But as councillors, we should and must take the lead. Recently, and it is recently for me, yes, I'm still driving my gas-guzzling car, but I have checked, as a personal thing, I've been to a website called carbonfootprint.com. It's a bit boring, but it gets the point across, to check my personal carbon footprint, and we can all do the same. But it does emphasise the things that we do and the things we're doing wrong. So my gas-guzzling car, for example, I do 1,800 miles a year, which is very, very low. Now, that's not a deliberate thing. It's just something that I do. I have started, and this has been over the last few months, catching buses I don't know how many of you actually do that, but they are very difficult to catch. It's not an easy thing to do. And part of this, clearly, once we've passed this, which I'm assuming will happen today, but once that's happened, we need to sort out the bus system. It's very hard to catch. I've been doing that. And to be honest, the reason I've driven my gas guzzler here today is because I can't rely on the bus to get me here on time, or won't rely on it, and carrying lots of bits and pieces too. I'm making excuses. There should be ways around that. I'm not a wealthy man. Buying an electric car is a massive expense, but I'm going to have to look at some way around this sort of thing. As councillors, we can change things. Catching the bus is one thing we can do. When I took this carbon footprint test, I actually came out just below carbon neutral, to my great surprise. I'm actually giving some back. And those reasons are, is I don't fly in aircraft anywhere. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. I have to say, the first, if I take this 4 years since I did that, that hasn't been deliberate. I could stand here and say, yes, I've been doing this because I'm a great guy. Not true. The first 2 years, honestly, I couldn't afford it. And the last 2 years, I have been making a conscious effort to do something about it. Ride a bike, indeed. We need better bike lanes. My next point was riding a bike. I do have a bike. I have tried riding it. Where I live, in the middle of town here, cycling into town is, oh my goodness me, I can't explain how scary that is. We need better cycle paths. We all know this. And again, if this is passed, this is yet another thing we can look at to put things right. I would like to say a very well done to everyone that's spoken, which has already been said. A very hard thing to do. But again, going back to Mel Smith and her team, well done. That was very courageous, the way you spoke earlier. And all of you come to that. I'd also like to mention, last Friday, I went along to meet Esther, who is a young lady, can't remember her age, but I think it was 12. And she was the leader of the team of children and young people that met in Taunton last Friday. And they were absolutely amazing. And from their mouths, I spoke to each one of them in turn, and their thoughts and their views. And these were just kids. They weren't skiving from school. It was called a strike from school. Actually, most of them were on an inset day. So they weren't doing that. They were not misbehaving badly. Everyone has their points. I know our Prime Minister has given her view on this. But I do think they made the point. If they come out on a Saturday, they wouldn't have made the same point. There would have been no attention paid. And I think them coming out was a fantastic thing to do. And Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank you. Mr. Chairman was having his lunch while this was going on. I interrupted him from that lunch. And to ask him if he would kindly speak to these young adults. And you did that, so thank you for that. And they actually gave you a massive cheer and a round of applause, did they not? Better than here. So all I have to say really is clearly I'm going to support this motion. I encourage you all to do so, and it sounds, apart from one possibly, that we are all going to do that and get behind it. And I would also like to thank Tessa for bringing this motion forward. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor John Clark, can I remind you all, please, don't repeat the messages that you're saying. Some of us are getting a bit repetitive. I say some of us, the collective.
Thank you, Chair. I would try not to and keep it brief, because people have been very passionate and spoke very eloquently about the subject, so I would just stick to what I've written here. I welcome this cross-party motion today. Not least because it demonstrates how climate change and the emergency we are in is not and should not be about party politics. It is about recognising the imperative we are facing, the potential extinction of life on this planet. This is the potential reality if we fail to take action today and now. And in the words of Martin Luther King, there is such a thing as being too late. This is no time for apathy or complacency. This is the time for rigorous and positive action. A recent Met Office report said how in the next 5 years we could see global warming of 1.5 degrees being exceeded. Since 2014, the world has experienced the four hottest years since records began in 1850. CO2 emissions have to be cut by 45% by 2030 to have any chance of holding global warming to 1.5%. But this in itself is not enough. There will be and has been catastrophic effects. Sea level rise alone would affect 10 million people, leading to mass migration. Extreme heat waves will be experienced by 14% of the world's population, leading to an increase in heat wave related deaths. Insects, already in decline, will continue to do so. And recent studies have suggested we've already seen a decline in species of 12%. If we lose the insects, then everything is going to collapse. My children, your children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren will go through the catastrophic impact of climate change. It is they who will face the consequences of our inaction. We all have a responsibility to take action as individuals and as a society. We must change our behaviour and society's behaviour. We must challenge corporate greed, especially in the use of fossil fuels. We must challenge financial self-interest and government inaction. This council has just approved a £100 million investment under the capital budget, which I spoke earlier, referred to earlier. This could be the opportunity to invest in renewable energy. This could be the opportunity to install solar panels on all our schools, building infrastructure which is not centred on cars, investing in public transport and cycle paths. John, this is investment in our future to make Somerset a vibrant, sustainable county, a county fit to face the challenges of the future. Let's plan for a green budget next year, which has at its core the protection of our community, the protection of the health and well-being of all our community, and which ensures the financial sustainability of this council and, above all, the protection of our environment. Today is the opportunity for this council to start to take action by declaring a climate emergency, to fulfil our responsibility and duty to this planet, to fight for humanity, to fight for our planet, and to fight for all the species we share this planet with. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Dimery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm delighted that this proposal has been brought to the Council, and it's very encouraging to finally see support across the Chamber for policies that we in the serried ranks of the Green Party have been banging on about for 40 years. We've had a great deal about the negative impact of climate change and heard very eloquently from members of the public. But we must assure that this motion is far more than mere tokenism. We must ensure we can achieve things at a local level. It would seem the days of the climate change sceptic are coming to an end, thankfully, with the notable exception of the President of the United States of America, who prefers not to believe the evidence of NASA and 98% of scientific studies. If, as he suggests, climate change is a conspiracy conducted by China, then the Chinese are certainly going to go to some lengths to make the point, because currently 60,000 Chinese soldiers have been mobilised to plant... I've got objections already, Mr. Chairman, from the floor... to plant 6 million hectares of forest in an effort to reduce the impact of air pollution and carbon emissions in the country. The area of new forestry they are planning is equal to the landmass of Ireland. It's nice to know that we planted a forest ourselves, I believe, at Somerset recently, and we can do more. America is the biggest per capita polluter on the planet, but while the President prevaricates, many states are taking action on a localised basis, notably California, where huge investments in solar power and battery storage are available. The serious intent of companies like Tesla, for example, may have been noticed by some of you as you've driven to fleet services, perhaps on the M3, where there are now 11 Tesla recharging bays. The point is, there we can make a clear statement, not just of environmental, but commercial intent here. While so much remains to be done, it simply cannot be left to central government. We must all take the initiative. By supporting this motion, this council is undertaking to ensure that climate considerations must inform all future policy decisions, wherever relevant. Yet this need not be a burden, practically or financially. It can and should be a progressive and economically advantageous way of conducting future policy. To begin with, We have already accepted a duty to tackle carbon and other emissions as key members of the Somerset Health Protection Forum. The forum states that two of its main priorities are air quality and the role in public health in responding and adapting to climate change. So we already have that commitment and should be looking at ways to constructively honour that pledge. Renewables are the fastest growing energy development in the world, especially here in the UK. Despite what BP's rather disingenuous report last week would have you believe, last year's daily average of renewable energy supply to the national grid was 29% of all electricity produced. That considerably outweighs nuclear at 21%. In the near future, with massive wind farms set to come on stream and advantages to the technological breakthroughs in storage, the UK will be ever less reliant on fossil fuels to supply our energy. So the question was asked, what can we do? What can we as councils do? Well, I was delighted to see Councillor Hall's full-page article in the recent edition of First magazine, which we all receive, mentioning the council's commitment to reducing single-use plastics, which of course affects the oil industry and pollution of carbon as well as the sea. And following a motion, of course, put forward by my colleague John Clark. In the most recent edition of First, however, another Conservative-led administration, to give credit where it's due, West Sussex, was proudly boasting of how they've converted underused land to generate clean energy by installing large-scale solar farms along with grid storage batteries to maximise the revenue streams. The same council is installing photovoltaic panels on 70 of its schools with an expected saving of £1,000 per year per school on bills. So investing in the changing needs of the energy industry can also have positive financial advantages. Up till now, over 300 councils worldwide and at least 20 councils in the UK have declared a climate emergency, including Bristol, Chard, Glastonbury and the ever-progressive People's Republic of Frome, as I've heard it called in these parts. Cornwall recently declared a climate emergency and Wiltshire are debating this motion in the coming weeks. District councils in Somerset and the West are set to follow suit very soon, including Mendip. So let us, at Somerset County Council, be in the forefront of this growing band of authorities to declare a climate emergency, to implement it constructively and vigorously, to embrace the positives and possibilities, and to send out the message to Westminster that we as local authorities can lead the way to a better and sustainable future for our children, and we expect and demand Westminster to do the same. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The next speaker is Nigel Hewitt-Cooper. Can I just ask members, I don't want to curtail debate, but could you try and concentrate on what this is about and try and bring it back?
Chairman, point of order, if I may. Chairman, sorry. Chairman, point of order, after your comment earlier, which might have been directed at me for leaving the chamber to get some sustenance, because unfortunately I suffer from the fact that I can't carry on much longer without something to eat. So I'm just asking your advice. I need to leave the chamber now because it's going to take a bit of a while for lunch. So does that preclude me from voting, please? Thank you.
From the legal advice I had earlier on, it probably would do, and I wouldn't like that to happen. I'm in the same boat as you as a diabetic, so and I don't really want to adjourn just yet. But the way this is going on, we've got another five speakers and a fair bit of business before we break still. So, Councillor Hall.
Chairman, very briefly, I, like you, don't want to curtail debate in any way, but I really do think that in the spirit of this recommendation, the time for talking is done. It's time to do something, not keep repeating ourselves. Can we please move to the vote as soon as possible and get this done so we can move on?
Let me just take some advice on this.
I believe Councillor Paul has seconded Councillor Hall's proposal in accordance with the Constitution.
that the motion that has been published and has clearly been debated today is now put to the vote. Accordingly, I believe the Chair will now ask members to indicate whether they are in favour of the motion, and in particular the resolution that is set out.
I will, but I seem to have no other option. I'm not happy about curtailing debate, but you now have a motion in front of me, so I'm bound to take that motion. Ask those in favour of Councillor Hall's motion, please indicate in the usual way. Beg your pardon, Councillor Mann, but no, it's a joint motion. I'm getting a bit confused here. Councillor Munt, I apologise. It's proposed by yourself and it's seconded by Councillor Hall. That is now going to the vote. Please will you indicate clearly if you're in favour.
I think that's unanimous.
Might be one abstention.
To the contrary, if any, please, or any abstentions? One abstention, two... No, one abstention there. Councillor, where's the other abstention? Where's the other abstention? Two, three. Three abstentions. Is that an abstention? Four abstentions. Any more?
Chairman, can I just say...
Councillor Fothergill.
For a man of my age, I did visit the toilet. Had I been able to vote, I would absolutely vote yes with this. But I think in just to show the way, I need to declare that I did visit the toilet. But I am fully behind this motion, and it would have my support if I was able to vote.
Thank you. I wasn't trying to run the nanny state. It was just a point was made to me earlier on, and it is a valid, lawful point. Right, well, that motion is carried. I want you to all understand that. Councillor Andy Kendall, I'll let you quickly say something.
No, I was going to vote no, Chair. I didn't get a chance to vote no. And the reason, I had an important statement to make about what I've tried to achieve something on this council, OK? And in the council, the officers have said to me, we don't do this because we don't want to spend money on it and we want to pass the buck over. I'm not going to say what it's about because I've not been allowed to talk about it. I think I ought to release it to the press or something. Or if someone may need to stop me, whichever.
Point of order. I think
Councillor Chilcott.
Point of order. The debate's been had and the vote's been taken.
Yeah.
Right. The second item is the precautionary salting network. Now, I'm going to tell you that I am not going to take this because, in my opinion, and in the opinion of the legal advice and the monitoring officer, this is the responsibility within the premise of the leader and cabinet. It is not under my jurisdiction as chair, and it's not under our jurisdiction as full council. I've taken proper advice from the monitoring officer and the legal advisor. I believe this has been notified to the proposer and seconder, so I am not taking it.
A point of order, Chair.
I'm going to...
Point of order, Chair. Two things. One, it hasn't been notified to me. And secondly, what is it doing on the agenda?
I'm going to ask Scott to answer that, why it's on the agenda.
Again, Chair, just to respond on the specific points, Councillor Rigby is aware in terms of the proposed response that would be made at this meeting that was obviously published as part of the Chair's schedule, which was published on the Council's website yesterday, both to all members and to all members of the public, that the proposed course of action, because this relates to an executive function, is that this matter will be referred to the Leader and Cabinet to consider at their next meeting. And I believe that is exactly the response, Chair.
Okay, thank you. We are now going to adjourn for lunch.
That doesn't answer the question. Why is it on the agenda if it's not within the purview of the council? How did it get there?
Again, I'm going to turn to Scott, but I've just said I've adjourned this meeting for lunch. If you want to waste more energy, the lunch was ready 45 minutes ago. Could you say that you're back in this chamber, allow an hour and a quarter, you will need a quarter of an hour to get back through security.
Or 1 hour.
So take 1 hour for lunch and allow an additional security.
Or 1 hour if members are available.
Lunch is being provided for you.
2:45.